The Alpha Sessions.
Hello, welcome to The Alpha Sessions. I'm Katia Nimble, and today we have Nat Cartier in the studio. Hello, Nat. How are you doing?
Very good. Super excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
We're really excited to have you too. And my first question to you is, how did you find yourself in music? How did your journey begin? And what inspired you to become a musician?
My parents, I think, are definitely one of the leading forces behind my passion for music. I think I grew up in a very just like fun, active family, always a lot of music. My siblings definitely enjoyed music and had, you know, some music, a music setup, one of those Pioneer like huge cases, the black box cases, so always had music at home. And, you know, if there was a party, my parents would, you know, get up and dance together and stuff, and they made sure that every kid in our family had some type of music education. I think with me, they at one point realized, oh, he doesn't seem that bad at it, let's enroll him in another instrument class. And so I started a new instrument, the sax, and they kind of decided that for me, really, the sax. And that just snowball effected, a huge snowball effect to where I am now. So my parents, I'd say, was the short answer.
Well, I don't think we've ever had a saxophone in the studio, so it was a real pleasure to hear your songs, and I'm excited for the listeners to hear them shortly as well. Do you have any musical influences, any artists or genres that inspired you? Because it seems like your style is very versatile.
I think maybe growing up, I'd say Jamie Cullum and Jack Johnson, that's what was kind of playing at home or when we do road trips, obviously alongside like lots of other songs, but those are kind of like my origin, like favorite artists. And now, I mean, it's just, you know, blossomed into a whole different world of inspiration. So anything from like Crow, he's an artist in Germany, does music in German, he's a huge influence. Feli in America, both of those are kind of maybe niche artists, but everything from like David Bowie, his imaging, how he creates stories, Prince. I love kind of like a bit of a Post Malone kind of vibe sound, but like cool energy, all the way to like Stan Getz, who's a saxophonist, Chet Baker, who sings and plays the trumpet, and the list just goes on and on. So that's like a random dump of different influences.
That's really fascinating. And just to say about your music again, I'm just teasing the songs we're about to hear, but I felt like it was quite a gloomy morning today, August, the autumn's on the way, and then I was on the other side and just listening to you through your through the glass, and I had a smile on my face instantly, and I feel like it's such a great surge of energy that you give to the audiences. So thanks for sharing the behind the scenes and who inspired you and continue to inspire you. I've also noticed that you've released songs in multiple languages. I heard a few songs in German, in English, even one song in Ukrainian. How do you go about it? How does your songwriting differ in different languages, if at all? It's really interesting.
I think they kind of it all happened very naturally, and languages is a huge part of my life. Born in France, but speaking English at home, and then moving to Switzerland, so kind of like French and English is really my mother tongue, and then like going to the German part of Switzerland, these languages have kind of been put upon me in a weird way. And at some point I decided to start writing in Swiss German back when I was like in my late teens. Really enjoyed that, and my dream is really to travel around the world and make music in all different types of languages. And I'm not scared of doing, you know, a full song in a different language. I think that's actually really exciting. And so that's kind of, languages is just a big passion of mine. Are a big passion of mine. And how do I go about writing in different languages? I think it just like, however, whatever I experience in those areas, that will happen in the music. So the Ukrainian track, I've started writing it at an event in a kind of Swiss monastery. This was right after the war, and I got asked to play an event there. So, I mean, it was super emotional, a very emotional space. And I just had this itch to start writing a song with some of the Ukrainian refugees there. And that kind of, again, the snowball effect kicked in, and I married a Ukrainian woman, Niera, who she helped like finish the song, write the lyrics. We then recorded it with a Ukrainian choir, and it just keeps on going, and the stories get bigger, and yeah, they just come basically.
Oh, thank you for sharing. It's really, really interesting to learn about it, and I found the song so evocative. Again, for our listeners, I think it's called Sumuyu, which means I'm being sad. Thank you for sharing. And I think each language maybe gives you a different persona, different take on how you see yourself in music. So thank you for sharing that. Do you have a song that you'd say defines you as an artist, or a song that you're particularly proud of? And tell us about it and a bit more.
I think at the moment, probably Hell Yeah. One that I played, it's just like, I think that's kind of my attitude at this stage in life, just like, hell yeah, you know, make stuff happen, be adventurous, allow things to happen as well. You know, if you say hell no to everything, that's gonna, you know, you're gonna very quickly block yourself off from opportunities, new experiences and fun. So I think hell yeah is really my attitude to life at the moment, so that's probably my biggest and most defining song right now.
What's up, it's Nat Cartier at the Alpha Sessions. I'm here with Alan, Katya and Ron. This song's called Hell Yeah. You will have to participate. I wanna hear you say hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Say hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. What's up? Listen up. Keep on spreading love. Hell yeah, that's what I say. The rush hits me like a drum. Thank you.
Alpha Sessions.
And if we talk a bit more about your current plans, so what's in the works? Are you working on any new material or maybe putting up some gigs? Tell us about your plans.
My big plan at the moment is Neo. I'm Neo Crazy at this point. That's the name of my upcoming EP. So it's 5 tracks, including Hell Yeah, which you're about to hear, Back in Town as well. And there are 3 more tracks. It's kind of like a concept EP, maybe around the kind of finding myself, having fun, being at uni. It's 4 years in the making, and all the way to me like falling in love and a commitment, both like in relationship and in my personal life, but also commitment to myself, to my career. And that's really how the EP, I think, Neo stands for me as a musical work. And for Neo, I'm throwing a boat party in London. You're all invited. So that will be really fun. I hope to see Ron and Alan there and yourself at this boat party on the 25th of October. It's going to be epic. And, you know, trying to make that happen. The boat party isn't free. You know, no one's giving me a boat for 4 hours on the Thames. So financially, you've got to make that work. So that's a lot of work. And yeah, so it's at the moment, it's really, I feel in a period of lots of hard work, long days, but I'm really enjoying the work as well. Like sometimes I'm not putting in work that, you know, brings me down. It's Hell Yeah kind of work. So, yeah.
Lots of exciting plans, and we look forward to following your journey. When I was listening to your back catalogue, I noticed that you quite often collaborate with other musicians, artists. How do you find it? Because I know some songwriters prefer to just keep the persona, the artistic persona, to themselves, and some others prefer to open up and just let someone else's creative streams into their processes. Tell us about your collaborations.
I love collaborating. I think that's really one of my strengths, and I play to that strength. I love working with people, writing with other people, and believe that when you work together on a song and really try and align so that both people can listen to, or more, can all listen to a song and all feel, I believe it's possible with any, more or less any song, that everyone who's working on it can at one point feel fully aligned and listen to the whole song from start to finish and be like, we love together every part of this song. And that's what I search for in all my collaborations. And I'm sure I'm not, you know, super easy to collaborate with. I think like with vocals, sometimes I'm working with artists and they're like, no, I can't sing this. And I just have to push and be like, you definitely can. I can hear in your voice that you can sing this line. And maybe that's is that more a hell no attitude? I don't know. But sometimes I do, you know, push a bit in the collaborations, but really to bring that moment together where in the end you can align and really be like, wow, I really did sing that actually, and it sounds great. So I love collaborating and want to collaborate like all around the world, travel around the world, collaborating, you know, with people that I don't even speak the same language with. Like, I would love to be in that situation actually. So yeah, I want to keep on collaborating.
Is there a dream collaboration, even if it's not realistic? I'm sure everything's possible, but
definitely like Crow in Germany. Feli is like at the moment just like one of my all-time favorite artists as well. So I think Crow and Feli are really up there. And I think turning the question around, I don't think there's any artist that I would say no to a collaboration. So I'm really, you know, if anyone approached me and it's the right time, like if someone came to me now and like, oh, I really want to do a track and can we meet up next week? I'd probably be like, oh, I can't really do that at the moment. But yeah, like I really would love to collaborate with as many people as possible.
Thank you for sharing this. I think it really shows in the way you come across, just very open. And it seems like producing music is like a lifestyle. So you meet certain people and then some music comes out of it, and it's really great that you treat it as a journey, and it makes it more interesting to follow, I think. And today you brought a saxophone into the studio and played some really gorgeous tunes. It's very impressive that you can pick any tune and just play it so beautifully. How did you pick up saxophone? You briefly mentioned it earlier.
But so yeah, I mean, my parents, it was kind of saxophone or trumpet. And I think my parents just kind of both leaned towards the saxophone. Mm. So they're like, okay, you know, we're going to start some sax lessons. And I think I was, what, like 10 years old. I was going like, okay, whatever, I'll start some lessons. I mean, I think, yeah, I can't actually ever remember being like, yes, the sax. Like, I need to start playing the sax. It kind of, similar to the languages, it all fell into place. And, you know, it all feels meant to be. And I really developed my love for music my love for music's developed throughout my whole life, but when it clicked for me was when I was in Switzerland, living in Switzerland in Zug, and I was part of the regional kind of big band and wind orchestra, and it kind of evolved during the years whilst I was there as well. So we did lots of different formations there, and I was president of it, the Kadettenmusik Zug, for I think like 4 years. And it was really kind of the moments when you've got a whole group of people, a whole like big band or wind orchestra playing together, and you've got the conductor, and you're all in this one moment, you know, playing quietly, and then you keep, and the music keeps going, and everyone's like kind of in this one moment feeling that and participating in all the fun things we did there, really unlocked, I think, helped me understand kind of the feeling of community and togetherness and connection that music creates. And that was really where I think my love for music, the seeds of my entire career were, for my skill and knowledge as well, were planted kind of in my teens when I was at this Kadettenmusik Zug in Zug, which I, you know, always loved being a part of. And, you know, I always miss those days, but lived them, and they were really awesome. So, yeah, then moved to Edinburgh, and throughout uni just like played sax more and more. And now one of my income streams is being a saxophonist, so people book me to play the sax. It's kind of like the easiest thing for me to do, kind of with the least amount of preparation. If people have specific requests, then I'll practice them, but I can definitely rock up at a gig without any practice, you know, play any requests and just like bring the vibes, walk out, dance with people. So kind of got that like entertainer showmanship part, which, you know, always helps regardless, you know, what the musical skill is or is needed. So that's kind of how the sax came to be. And I've also learnt in the past years being in Edinburgh that the tenor sax is kind of the sax that I kind of naturally lean to the most, because I played a lot of alto. And I had one lesson in Edinburgh. It's always good to have lessons with people. You know, a professional who's a sax teacher. She was in at Edinburgh University, Marion Jago. And we were having a lesson. I hadn't had one for years, and I probably should have. I should have for 3 or 4 years. I didn't have any sax lessons. And I was there with the alto sax, and she was like, you know, why don't you bring your tenor in? And I was like, I don't know, actually. And then and from that moment on, I realized, like, I really miss the tenor. And I was like, oh, my baby tenor, I haven't given it any love or attention, you know, for quite a long time. And it really made me, it was nearly like some type of sadness or nostalgia. And that was the moment when it clicked for me that, like, I'm really a saxophonist. Mm. More than an alto. I mean, I can play alto. I played a lot of baritone. And I love all the saxophones. I played more or less all of them, even toolbox, which is like a huge, like, was like absolutely huge toolbox. If you're curious, Google toolbox. I think T-U-B-A-X. It's like a huge, super huge sax. That was also at the Kadetten Musikzug. So had a lot of fun experiences around the saxophones, and I love it.
I'm back in town, back in town. I'm back in town. Just having a good time, know everything's gonna be alright. Back in town, back in town. I'm back in town. Just having a good time, know everything's gonna be alright. Celebrate how we manifested reality. This one's for the memories, better than a movie scene. It's showtime, Eddie London worldwide. It doesn't matter what you're going through. This right here's a party just for you, 'cause you're back in town, back in town. You're back in town. Having a good time, know everything's gonna be alright. Back in town, back in town. You're back in town. Just having a good time, know everything's gonna be alright. See, I'm back in town at the bar, 40 rounds, took a shot, shoot my shot. I bet you know me now, it's a two-man step. Oh, you best not slow me down. Pull up to my favorite spot where they really hold me down. I get busy with it, guilty as charged. Yeah, I really did it. Pit stop, fill up the car, hit the city with it, stepped in just like a star. Yeah, I really live it. Wake up the next day in a new city. It doesn't matter what you're going through. This right here's a party just for you, 'cause we're back in town, back in town. We're back in town. Just having a good time, know everything's gonna be alright. Back in town, back in town. We're back in town. Just having a good time.
Sessions.
And I can feel this love just radiating from you. And I just find it fascinating that okay, a saxophone is an instrument, it's essentially an object, but through this object I've just discovered this whole layer of your formative years, how you've emerged and how you continue rediscovering yourself as an artist. And I think that's super important, to just carry on stimulating yourself rather than just kind of over-focusing on that one stage that you feels like a comfort zone. So that's very, very inspirational for sure.
The next stage with the sax is there are now these digital saxophones. I don't know if you've ever seen one. Have you ever seen one?
Like a MIDI.
Yeah, it's like, I think there are like some Yamaha ones, and they have the, you know, they have a some type of mouthpiece, and you can play them, and it just, it outputs MIDI. So I could be playing this digital saxophone, but it sounds like a rock guitar, or it sounds like a choir, or it sounds like, you know, just any digital instrument that humanity has been able to replicate now, technically on a sax, you know, I could do that. Obviously, it's a single note system, so you can't, like on a piano, you can play lots of different notes, or on a guitar, on the sax, you can only really play one. But that, I think, is, you know, if in the next 5 years, I think that's something I really want to explore, is the kind of the digital sax side of things, which is really kind of only come through properly in the past couple of years. So I think that's probably, with in terms of my sax career, I think that's probably one of my big next steps, which I think would be really fun. But it costs a lot of money to buy one. I think they're like at least like £1,500 or something for it. So if anyone has £1,500 sitting around and wants to sponsor me one of those Yamaha or all the different brands that do them, please, you know, I need that help. So
crowdfund for it. And you've mentioned that a lot of your kind of journey becoming an artist was about live performances. Do you have a obviously also one of your income streams is performing live. Do you have a preference? Do you prefer going out in the world and playing gigs, playing at private events, or spending time in the studio and just intricately building a song with a producer or another artist, or is it?
I love live gigs. I think I always, if I could showcase in a graph kind of the amount of time that I spend kind of in the studio versus the time I spend live with the instrument and connecting with people, even this, I'd kind of nearly call that like a live engagement. I do believe I do more live stuff, and I do just prefer live stuff, but in the studio is just such important time, because in the studio is where you build up everything that kind of supports the live. So for example, the Hell Yeah and Back in Town tracks, you know, it's taken years for those tracks to evolve into what they are today, and the only reason why I can, you know, kind of play Hell Yeah or Back in Town and it sound cool is because so much time has also gone into the studio stuff. So I love the live part because I get to meet new people, and that's another one of my strengths. It's just like, put me in any situation where I don't know anyone and I'm happy and I enjoy it, kind of like today. You know, love meeting all of you here. Still am. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, but and even if I'm in the studio actually at home, I'll often set up my phone and do an Insta Live or a TikTok Live, because I just, I can't help myself but trying to like interact with other people. I really, really enjoy it. So, yeah, I think that's, I can't remember if I answered the question correctly, but something like that.
It's a bit of both, and I hope you'll have loads of exciting live performances in the future.
The boat party
on the 25th of October in London. Keep an eye out. And I feel like today we covered a lot about your creative process, about how you have become who you are and what you're hoping for. And I'm wondering, do you have any message that you're trying to convey beyond the lyrics as an artist, maybe any values that you're trying to deliver to other people?
I think kind of just love in general, you know, I think the world needs a lot more love, a lot more good vibes, and a lot more encouragement for good things. And I think there's maybe even a lack of encouragement in the world of people telling you, like, yes, you should do, you know, these things, or you know, the ideas that you have, which you're coming up with out of thin air, just like out of passion, you, those ideas, you should really, you know, attack those ideas and make them happen and go for action, versus just letting them float around and not taking action. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably my biggest thing, is to take action on the ideas that you have. And by doing that, you know, you'll make your dreams come true, you'll make yourself happier, and if you're happy with what you're doing, or if you're fulfilling yourself, then you open up the possibility to spread that energy towards other people. So yeah, I think at the moment it's like, what am I trying to spread? Love, good vibes, and, you know, a mindset of action, actually. Yeah,
the absolute essentials.
Yeah. I think it's really important just to tell people that you love them. And yeah, I think people don't tell each other that they love each other enough.
And often they use music as a medium to tell these messages.
No.
And I'm sure your songs are used for it too. Well, I think it's a really beautiful way to end the interview, that love is everywhere, and it's important to keep saying it and keep doing good things, and using music to infuse this positivity into the world. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you, to meet you, to listen to your songs. I'll continue my exploration of your work on Spotify. And do you want to share any of your handles, anywhere you can be found?
I'm very active on Instagram at It's Nat Cartier, so you'll find me there. On TikTok, the same. I mean, kind of wherever you're looking for me, I think you'll find me. And, you know, feel free to DM me or send me an email. I think email is probably the best way. So it's vibes@natcartier.com. Or, yeah, you know, just contact me. I'm reachable. I'm not in some, like, faraway place where you can't reach me. So, you know, if you want to get in contact and make something cool happen, then I encourage people to get in contact with me. And thank you so much for this interview. I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. And yeah,
thank you so much. It was a real pleasure to have you with us today. Hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Thank you.